Welcome to Business Resolutions, a weekly discussion about business in Puerto Rico with Jorge Gonzalez, attorney and management consultant.
Welcome to Business Resolutions with Jorge Gonzalez. My guest today is Manuel Cidre, Panadería Los Cidrines, mm-hmm. and a number of other companies which he's going to now describe to me. Manuel, how are you?
Very good, George. Thank you for your invitation. Okay. It's very proud to be here with you.
Well, I think I'd like to start so you just explain so we have the overall. What is Los Cidrines, Panadería Los Cidrines, and the companies that you are the founder and the CEO and the chairman of the board of all these companies? What is this complex that you now run?
Los Cidrines is a combination of retail bakeries and an industrial operation in Arecibo. That produce frozen dough for bread and pastries as well. We distribute our product through the island, through supermarkets, convenience stores, drug stores, and bakery as well. So Los Cidrines is the only one combination of retail bakeries and manufacturer operation working together using the same brand as the center of all the things we make.
Okay, Los Cidrines comes from your name.
Yes, it's the plural of my name. My name is Manuel Cidre, and my father used to call us Los Cidrines when we were very young, so that's the reason we call Los Cidrines.
You were how many, two brothers?
We're five.
We're five.
We have my brother and I was the founder of the companies 35 years ago. My third brother, he's a doctor in Manatee. My youngest sister, she's a worldwide president of Global of Feld Dodge Company. And the other girl, she's living in Vegas with her husband on a very, very comfortable life. So it's okay.
Okay. So you're originally from Cuba.
Yep.
And you're one of these fantastic stories of you're doing fantastic, your family's fantastic, all of a sudden, from one day to the other, you have nothing.
Yep.
You come to Puerto Rico with nothing.
Yep.
You arrive in Puerto Rico, what year was this?
1962. We arrived from Cuba to Arecibo, because our families are from Spain. My mother from Asturias and my father from Galicia. So in Arecibo was living Tio Manolín. He have a factory that produce shirts and some kind of clothes. So we got to live there, and we passed our first 20 years living in Arecibo.
And your father did what?
My father stayed in Cuba for a year because we left. I left along with my brothers.
And you're with the Peter Pan. What was that called?
We were not Peter Pan, but we just left Cuba, our five brothers together, and then came to Arecibo.
Without my parents, yes. With your uncle,
Yeah. So my father left Cuba on 1960.
How much money did you have in your pocket?
Nothing. I remember I used to say to my cousins in Arecibo, you can see, when my father come from Cuba, he's gonna have his pocket plenty of money, and we're going to buy some toys and everything for us. And I remember when he came from Cuba, and he bring with him just I think it was $10 in his pocket.
Right.
I remember that. I was 8 years old. And I said, Jesus Christ, this is the moment of truth I need to say, I don't have any chances, I have to grow.
And your clothes were hand-me-downs from your cousins.
My cousins are very wealthy people in Arecibo, and they are part of my family, so they help us a lot. They gave us shoes and clothes and toys and everything, but it's not the same.
Right.
We used to live in Cuba with a good life, and my father was a businessman in Cuba, a very prosper businessman in Cuba. And my family lived very good in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
So I used to call that moment of truth.
Right.
Moment of truth. That was my first moment of truth.
Right.
And if I have to live again, I want to have those moments of truth, because
they made
you a lot.
They made you what you are.
Yep.
Because explain to me, you know, when you have this situation where you have plenty and all of a sudden nothing, and even you're thinking maybe your parents are going to come and then you're going to be uh-huh. back to the good old days, and again you find out nothing. Uh-huh. When's the moment when that kind of an experience then comes again and plays an important role in a transition that you have in a situation that you're facing, and you say, okay, I went through this, I had nothing, and I was able to survive. I'm now willing to do this again. I'm willing to take the risk. Does that translate?
I think that all immigrants state their fear of losing things. No matter how much you have, you always fear to lose something. And I remember I have to visit some kind of psychologist that helped me to deal with that, because it's like a panic attack. Because you think we don't have any movement around the world, any bad news. You heard those news and you said, Jesus Christ, what's going to happen? Obviously, I remember those panic attacks in my life maybe 25 years ago. Actually, obviously, I'm mature. I understand better my situation, and obviously, my personal situation is much better. So I feel more safety today. But I remember when I opened the business the first day I opened. And I remember at the end of the day, I go to the cashier to see how much money I have in there. I have only $500, and Jesus Christ, with this I can't pay. Mm-hmm. What am I gonna do? You know, it's like a fear that's always with you, no matter what. I share this information with other immigrants, not only Cubans. Jewish, and some Vietnamese as well, and their feelings are very similar. Mm-hmm. Are very similar. It's like a fear.
But on the other hand, there is this feeling I have, mm-hmm. and talking with you about how you move through your different businesses. On the other hand, you are willing to take risks that people that are comfortable and have gone without having anything are not willing to take. You go through your education at Arecibo. Sí. What's your first job?
Well, I graduated from the Catholic school in Ponce,
which you're still very much involved
yes,
with.
Yes, I'm actually a trustee of the university, and I remember object manufacturing came to the university to hire some students, and they contact me, I fill all the papers, and they said, you're gonna start with us next week. So I start as a medical representative for Option in the Rio Piedras territory for 3 years. And my sales was very good. By the way, I implement a system that reduce the DSO of our accounts, and that method run the whole nation, because by that time, no computer was in the company.
For people who don't, DSO stands for?
Yes, because
stand for? What does DSO?
DSO is like I'm trying to say what DSO means in terms of the word, but it's how you measure your credit.
Okay.
That means you can have a DSO of 20 days or DSO of 40 days.
Okay.
So with that in mind, I remember once came my evaluation, and the sales manager said that they can't promote me. I said, why? Because you are not ready for promotion. I said, well, I'm ready for promotion. Look at my results. I am very result-driven. And they said, no, sir, you are not ready for your promotion. So I said, well, you know what? I'm going to quit. I think that was my first encounter with risk.
Right. I don't think a non-immigrant had nothing would dare do that.
Yeah.
Decide that they're not going to move to something else because they may lose their red Mercedes.
Uh-huh.
You know, but you're willing to lose everything.
I even have a car. They gave me a company car. So when I said I'm going to quit, I don't have any car.
Nothing.
I don't have anything. I have to walk through the street to take a public car to San Juan.
No backup.
No
safety net.
No way.
So listen, Mano, we got to take a break.
Okay,
good. We'll be right back.
Perfect.
Here we are, Perfect. Well, you know, out in the street again, Frank.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Perfect.